Hello, everyone. Welcome to Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And my name is Emily, and we have another Survivor recap for y'all today.
We absolutely do, and this episode was good, just like all the other ones have been. I didn't really understand the structure of this episode. I thought one part was too long, while another part was way too fast, but it was still entertaining. I just didn't understand that choice.
Yeah, same. I feel like they just don't have enough time to put everything in. And they sped up like a lot of parts of this episode to get us through it.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed at this episode.
Me too. I'm not happy about the outcome.
We only have one person from our final four left in the game.
Who's that, Andy?
Yes.
Unbelievable. But honestly, this episode made me believe in him even more. So I understand.
Yeah, I understand too now. But it's like so funny that like out of all the people that we chose, he's the one that's made it the longest.
Oh my gosh. So this episode starts with basically the fact that nobody knows who gave Rachel the safety advantage, which is so cool.
Yeah,
they don't know. They don't figure it out for the rest of this episode.
No, they don't. And Sol does tell Rachel, though, and he was like, I don't want this to come out. And he says he's creating his Sol's secret survivors, his own alliance that maybe he'll tell about, like his advantage about, and that he was the one that gave her it. But he does tell her, and I'm just so surprised that she kept the secret.
I am, too. And then also the fact that Sam told Rachel, like, Sam was, like, in Rachel's face being, like, you would have been the one to go home. You would have been the one to go home. And I'm, like, why are you... I mean, yes, it's true, but maybe he was trying to make her feel vulnerable so that she really wanted to, like, stick with Gata the next vote or whatever. Yeah. But he was, like, very adamant, like, you would have been the one to go home. And that is true, but it was so, like, what was his motive there?
Yeah, well, I think it was because she had to leave tribal council, and so she didn't get to see the chaos that ensued afterwards. And Tutu made it very clear that she would have been the vote. And so she was the only one, like, she didn't know. She didn't know for sure. She had an idea that she might be a target for that vote. But then she was like, you know, at the same time, Tiana was trying to work with me, and Kyle was trying to work with me. So maybe she thought, like, they all, you know, just switched their vote.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense. But like Sam was also like, this is gonna be Gata versus Tuku.
Yeah, and I think he was like trying to make Rachel feel like they have her back, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like let's get all the Tuku out because how dare they try to get you out, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, there wasn't much that happened right before the auction started happening, which we'll talk about, but I did note that Kyle said that Sol might be his favorite, and that might come up in like a later episode or something like that, like their alliance might be developing.
Yes, exactly. And then we see Caroline tells everyone to come on a walk and come see something that she found in the woods. And as soon as like you see it, you know it's the Survivor auction. If you've been watching the show, you know it's the Survivor auction, but they still make them read that it's the Survivor auction.
And this is the first time that I've ever seen a Survivor auction or even heard of it. So I was pumped.
Oh, yeah. So it's something that they did in like early seasons. They took it away and now they've brought it back. But now they've brought it back with a few little twists. So one's that you got to earn your money. And that's them literally running through the woods trying to find these tubes of money. And Sam was hilarious during this because he's like narrating it like he's a sports commentator.
Yes, he's like a newscaster. Like, here we are at the Survivor auction. And so and so has found 7 tubes of money and priceless. But what made me really laugh though in this Survivor, or when they were like looking for it, what really made me laugh when they were looking for the bamboo tubes of money was the fact that Andy,
I already know,
so me. for example, if I'm at mom and dad's house and they're like, mom's like, hey, can you grab me the bag of sugar or the jar of peanut butter from the pantry? I will go and I will stare at the pantry and I will go, I do not see any peanut butter in here. And I'm looking high and low, I'm looking as hard as I can. And then she has to get up and come over and be like, it's right here. And it's literally like in the middle shelf in the middle of that shelf, yes, in the very front. And so I felt like that. Andy was so me, just walking right past these tubes and not seeing any of them.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I was like, that is so, number one, that is so Andy, like, to just blatantly walk past them too. But I feel that too. Like, sometimes I'll be like, where the heck is my phone? And it'll literally be in my hand or something, yep, crazy like that, you know? So I understand how you can totally just overlook it. But once you know what you're looking for, and it's sitting on top of a rock right in front of you, like, how do you not, you know? And I kind of want to know if, like, I wish he would have just said this was part of his strategy. Like, I don't want to lose my vote, so I'm going to have the lowest amount going into this. And I also want to look like an idiot, you know?
Because with how Andy's whole strategy is, that would be in line with his strategy so far.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, okay, they don't know whether to paint him in the editing as like a mastermind or an idiot. Maybe he is both. Like, there's a very high possibility that it's just both.
Yeah. I'm so confused by him, but I'm so intrigued by him. Like, I have no idea if he's actually in control or if he's not, and if he's a fool or if he's not. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, we get to the auction, and they remind us that whoever has the most amount of money left at the end of the auction loses their vote. I like this because it makes them spend their money, whereas like in old seasons, some people would just legit keep their money. Like Sierra, $1,600, they would have been like, yeah, I'm just going to keep this and take it home with me.
Yeah. I would if it's a month's rent like that.
Yes, and it also makes people have to bid like crazy amounts, you know, just to not be the highest.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Yes. Okay, so let's go through it. First one is chips and soda, and Sol's like, I'm on it. Next is mac and cheese for Teeny. The third one is covered, and it ends up being chips, salsa, and a freaking margarita, and Sierra gets it.
Looks so good.
I was like, if any of these rewards I could choose, it would have been that one. Like chips, salsa, and a margarita. And Jeff said, and she's like, I'm having a margarita with Jeff Probst. And he's like, if you want to have a margarita with me, you could be on Survivor or something like that, you know? And I literally was thinking in my head before he even said that, I would totally have a margarita with Jeff Probst.
He was speaking directly to you, Emily.
He was. I would totally go out to the Mexican restaurant with Jeff Probst on a Tuesday night.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't?
Yes. This is so off topic, but you know, when you're like in an interview and they're like, you can choose anyone dead or alive to have dinner with, who would it be? I always just want to say Jeff Probst.
You should say Jeff Probst. I mean, hello. If they don't know how iconic Jeff Probst is and how he's one of the longest standing reality TV show hosts, especially from the reality TV shows from the early 2000s, which are all kind of iconic and started this whole wave of reality TV, then that's on them at that point.
Okay, true. I just feel like they want you to say something like more intelligent and like thoughtful and all that, but I'm like, no, I just want to literally have dinner with Jeff Probst. I want to ask him about the production of Survivor. I want to ask him how I can get on Survivor. I want to ask him so many questions, and I feel like that would be a red flag in an interview. They'd be like, oh god, this girl's crazy.
Yeah, I could see that. But can we talk about how Kyle got wings?
Oh my god, poor Kyle. He freaking got wings and he eats them.
He's a vegetarian, by the way, if you all forgot. He said he was vegan for like 6 years and then he went vegetarian in preparation for the show because he knew that if, you know, he, like, for example, if he got the mac and cheese, if you're vegan, you wouldn't be able to eat that, but if you're a vegetarian, you would. So he wanted to broaden it a little bit and go vegetarian instead of vegan, but he ended up still getting the wings, which is obviously just pure meat. And then he had to make a decision in that moment and he ate them. I would have done the same thing though.
I would have too. This brings me back. This is like some Survivor lore, but this brings me back to season 2 Survivor Australia. And there was Kimmy and they did a eating gross things challenge, kind of how they did during this auction. And one of them was a pig nose. Well, she's vegetarian. She wouldn't eat the pig nose. And it was literally like the teams were tied and this was going to get your team immunity and she wouldn't even attempt it. So like blew up at camp because they're like, you made us lose this challenge, and like her and this other girl like go at it, and it's like a whole storyline that whole season is how Kimmy wouldn't eat the pig nose. And I was like, oh, how it's evolved to, yes, I'll eat these chicken wings.
I just worry about his little tummy.
I know. I was
he hasn't eaten meat that long.
I know. I thought the same exact thing. And then poor Gabe gets freaking coconut with some water in it.
Shameful. Sol got a pie. That pie looks so good.
So good. And he got an extra $60. Like, yes. Okay. So then Jeff brings out this like huge item, and it's covered, and Rachel bids all her money on it, and it's burger, fries, and beer. And this is where it gets a little interesting. We've never seen this before, but there's a little scroll in her Frenchie fries.
Yeah.
And she does a great job of like just tucking it in her bra.
It was when they brought out the desserts for Genevieve, and everyone was like, oh, cupcakes, yes, muffins, chocolate, everything. And they were distracted by that, and she put it in her waistband. She waited till the perfect time when they were distracted by sweets after starving for several days. So,
yeah, genius.
Bravo
genius
to her.
Yes. And then we get to the breakfast one, and they can bid $200 to just have a chance at it and to do a challenge. And they take it back to Classic Survivor, just what I was talking about, those eating challenges. And they have to eat two grubs. Immediately, Sierra's like, no. Could you do that?
Yeah. No, I mean,
here's the play thing. You don't even like slugs.
I know. But I thought about, could I do that? And I think now, if you would have asked me that before I saw how it went down, I would have said, yes, I'd absolutely do that for a thing of breakfast, whatever. But then when I saw how fast Sam was able to get it down his throat and how many guts were popping out of Sue's mouth, I was like, and then she never even got to eat the breakfast. Ooh. I think that I would have to pass, because what if you bite into that grub and then you don't get any more food after that?
Oh,
I think I would just walk into the ocean and never look back.
I think I would do it on the game of Survivor, because it's like a classic Survivor thing to do. It's like you only get to play Survivor once. Like, you gotta eat the grub. That, but any other circumstance, I'm not eating it.
Why does it have to be alive? Can I not smash it before I have to eat it?
Well, that's what people used to do. I think you can. Like, somebody just like beat the heck out of them one time to get them to die first, because they're like, I'm not eating this. But I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
but
guts,
if you're
come
racing,
out,
you're probably just gonna bite into it.
Yeah, and if guts come out, do you have to like lick it off the plate?
Oh my lord. But at least after that, Sue did get a burrito.
Oh, yes, but Caroline got fish eyes.
And she, why did she even bite into it?
Oh, again, I think it's important that like it's something that's at
you
the auction
to.
Every time you just have to do it. I don't know.
But then Sierra got like chocolate and peanut butter and all that, whatever was on that tray. Or yes. Sorry. Did I say Sierra? I meant Sierra.
Yeah.
Okay. Sierra got all that chocolate and peanut butter that was on that tray, but she shared it with Caroline and Gabe. So Caroline got to have a good taste in her mouth after the fish eyes.
Yeah, and screw them for that, because Sierra was actually genuinely nice and gave Gabe, who got coconut and water, and Caroline, who got fish eyes, a chance to eat some chocolate and some peanut butter. And then they freaking, you see what happened later. Like,
only for them to vote her out.
I know. Like, and this, I might have to mark this as my hot take. We'll talk about it later. But I would have picked Andy for it, because Andy didn't even, I don't know if that's even possible. Like, if you didn't even get to enter the auction because you didn't have any money, do you get to share that with them? I don't know.
I feel like yes, because it was like, share it with two people.
Yeah. And I would have shared it with him, because I would have been like, okay, he didn't even have a chance. Y'all had a chance to bid on something and he didn't. And also that strengthens your bond with someone that you think is in your alliance. And maybe he would have, you know, done something a little different later if you had sweetened him up, literally.
But anyway, Sam lost his vote.
Yes, hate that, because I really like Sam.
And they're obviously going to be gunning after him. We know this before they even start talking, because of him and Sierra being threats.
Yes, and Andy wanting him out. So we come back from commercial break, and Rachel is now reading her advantage, and it says there's an idol in the corner of their tarp. It's sewn into the corner of their tarp. Well, their tarp is on their shelter. And so she's like, how am I supposed to get this? And mm-hmm. we come back to that later. All we see is that she reads the note. So then we switch to, there's like Teeny, Rachel, and Sierra are talking. They want to get a Tuku out, but they want to get a male Tuku out. Kyle made himself a threat by winning two challenges. So they're thinking Kyle.
Yes. And little did they know that Kyle was going to win immunity for the third time in a row, because he's just a challenge beast and there's nothing that they can do about that.
Exactly. And then we see Genevieve's like, no, I don't really want to work with Lavo and God. I don't want to work with Tuku. I want to switch things up. So she's talking to Caroline and Sue. And then, like, those three are talking about, let's get the sneaky threats out over the physical threats. So they talk about getting Rachel out. And I think that this is, like, something different that we haven't seen before. Like, normally it's, like, we get to the merge and it's all vote the physical threat and nothing else. They don't think about anything else. But now she's thinking, like, they're thinking, let's get the sneaky ones out first.
She's thinking long game in that way.
Yes. She's thinking, like, what are the odds that, like, a strong person wins every single immunity challenge? Which is true. Like, it's hard to win every single one of them. So just wait to get them out and get out the real sneaky ones while you can.
Yeah, 100%. At the same time, I really feel like Kyle could be the one to win all the immunity challenges. For some reason, he just seems like he has every form of athleticism available to him. So I don't know.
But I wonder if he's good at puzzles.
Ooh, maybe not. I can't remember. Yeah,
I can't either. Okay, then we see this craziness. So Rachel's talking about how she needs to get the idol out of the tarp, but everyone is literally sitting in the shelter. And she's like, well, everyone's sitting in the shelter, so I'll just go on the outside of the shelter. And she's literally cutting the tarp while everyone is sitting, like, maybe 6 feet from her. And nobody notices. That's crazy.
I can't believe they didn't notice.
I know. But also, I was wondering, like, when they won the tarp, the producers didn't just go put the idol in there this week, right? Like, it was sewn into it. So when you got the tarp, you didn't notice that there was something lumpy in the corner?
True. They must have done a really good job, or, like, maybe they sewed it in, like, in the middle of the night or something crazy like that. But then, like, the players would have totally noticed. So I don't know.
I know. And I'm wondering, like, if they wanted someone to notice way back then. Like, the idol's been there this whole time. They wanted someone to notice back then that there was something in it and to tear it open on their own, and they didn't. So then they had to throw in a clue later on, you know?
That would make sense. I bet that's what happened.
Wild. So, like, playing Survivor, you got to cut open the tarp, you got to look at rewards. Like, there's little advantages literally anywhere.
Yeah, you have to cut open the tarp, dig a million holes in the ground, look out in the ocean at everything. Like, it's crazy.
Anything could be an advantage. All right, we get to the challenge, and they have to hang on to a bucket based on their beginning body weight. They have to hold 25% of their body weight.
That's not nothing to be holding with just your hands and your wrists.
I would suck at this challenge.
I would be so upset. Yeah, so unlike the balance challenges where your ball can start slipping down and you can, like, recover, this challenge seemed extremely hard to recover from. It seemed like once your bucket that weighed 25% of your starting body weight started slipping, it was almost impossible to get it back up. It was just too much wrist strength, I think.
Yes, like, I was thinking, holy forearm strength. Like, these people were, like, cranking the bar back trying to hang on. And it comes down to Rachel and Sue. And Sue wins. Then it comes down to Kyle, Andy, and Sol. And of course, Kyle wins.
Yeah. Third week in a row.
Yes. I mean, last week has an asterisk next to it, but still. He wore the necklace 3 weeks in a row.
He did.
Okay. So we get back to camp. And this is where, like, this new era Survivor, I cannot tell who's in an alliance with who. And no. I bet from now on, we'll see it change week to week. Like, people will be working with different people than they were previously week to week. And it's going to keep shifting, keep shifting, keep shifting, keep shifting. And it's so hard to keep track of as a viewer. I cannot imagine being on the island and trying to keep track of it.
I can't either. And the only person who you can really trust is yourself. Like, you literally don't know who's going to come after you.
Yes. And we see, like, Sam, Rachel, Teeny, Soul, Sierra, Andy, Genevieve are all talking. And they're like, okay, Gabe. And I'm like, or are they on Gabe? Because then we see so much chaos after this. Sierra says that Andy is her goat. Mm-hmm. Mistake. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Because he knows it. And he knows that it's the time of the game where he doesn't need to be a goat. He needs to make his own decisions. So he's talking about how he wants Sierra or Sam gone. So he goes to Caroline, he goes to Soul, he goes to Gabe. And he's like, they're all like, well, should we split between Sierra and Sam? And I literally wrote, who's on what side? Because I have no idea. I'm like, I thought Soul wanted to work with Rachel and Sierra and Sam, but he also wants to work with Andy. I don't know.
And then at this point, it's just like Andy knows how he's being used. And so I think he was just, I the only thing I knew certain for sure was that Andy was going to go against Sierra and Sam. I really felt that in my bones because he could see how he was being used at that point and didn't want anything to do with it anymore.
Yes. That's the only person we knew what his head was thinking. Okay. We see Genevieve and Soul say to Teeny, hey, we don't want to work with Gata. We want to work with Tuku. And at this point, I'm like, why didn't Teeny go, if she really, really wanted to work with Gata and had a better feeling about them, why didn't she go to Gata? Everyone knows that Sam and Sierra have this like shared idol. Like, they have an idol between the two.
Yeah.
And she could have easily gone and said, hey, the vote's going to be this. And they could have played their idol. And I know they split votes, so it didn't matter. Like, one of them was going to go home. But Teeny was really close with Sierra, and she could have saved her. Or at least tried to.
Yeah, I know. I know that Teeny didn't want to vote Sierra out, you know? But she could have. She really could have formed that alliance if she didn't want it to go that way.
Yes. And same with Soul. We see Soul.
But maybe everybody else was so enthusiastic.
Yeah. But I mean, but still, like, you can change the game, you know? You can change the game easily if you wanted to. And we see that with Soul too, because then everyone says, but maybe we should do Rachel because Sam and Sierra have an idol and they don't know that Rachel does too. But then Soul doesn't want Rachel. And I'm like, then why don't you tell her? You don't know what she has. Why don't you tell her the vote's going her way if it was? And then she can try to scramble. Like, I don't understand why we're not telling people that we want to stay in the game.
I can't even do that level of analysis on all of this because there was so much going on and everything was flipping every 2 seconds that I can't even sit here and tell you what I would do. Like, there's no way.
Yes. The only thing that I was thinking is that I thought that Soul and Rachel were strong because of what he did last week. So I figured he would tell him that her name was being thrown out. He doesn't. Yeah. And I also thought that Teeny and Sierra have become so close. Like, they're with each other all the time, it seems like, and they're buddy-buddy, that she would have told Sierra that she was going to get votes. And I guess they don't want, you know, they don't want to cause chaos. They don't want to pull a Rome. I don't know. But it's like, you need people in the game that you can trust. And if these are the people that you can trust, you've got to tell them when their name's being brought up.
Yeah, I agree. So here's like the way it went down, according to my notes, was basically Teeny said that she wanted it to be between two non-safe Tukus. Sam said, okay, let's do Gabe. Then Gato and Lavo were in a fake alliance and Andy broke away from Sierra and Sam, like we already talked about. And says that he's ready to work with Caroline, and then Andy's working with Lavo and Tuku. So the rest of the tribe is debating between Sam and Sierra, and then Lavo and Tuku want to work together to get Sam or Sierra. Also Lava and Gata want to work together to get Abe. Also Teeny wants Sam out because she's tight with Sierra and she wants one of them out, but she doesn't want it to be Sierra. Then Sol, Genevieve, and Teenie say Sam, and they say this while Sam is in a hammock, and I think he heard his name because he was like, hey. And then Caroline and Genevieve talk about Rachel all of a sudden. Then Sierra and Rachel say that they're feeling weird vibes, but Rachel has an idol. And then Gabe wants to do Rachel. Sol doesn't want to do Rachel because he just had this alliance with her. Genevieve wants Rachel gone. And that's all that I have. I mean, that is just too much.
I know. It is literally.
Sorry, thank you for letting me go through that.
Literally too much. I'm like, we could go through it three times. Like, I've explained it. You've explained it. We could go through it a third time. I'm still not going to understand who's with who.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you were talking about it, and then I was like, well, let me look at my notes so I can understand what's going on here. And I don't feel like I understand anything any better.
No, me either. But we get to tribal, and everyone says they're ready for war. They know that this is going to draw a line in the sand. And everyone's like, well, what factions are together? And then that's what I feel like is going to be the theme from here on out, is it's going to be factions together. It's not going to be alliances. Long-term alliances is just going to be these factions from week to week, and they're going to change.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, the question is, how do you know who is going where? And everybody's uneasy and everybody's uncertain. And I'm like, yeah, me too. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this episode did a really good job of putting us in the minds of a Survivor player and making us just as confused as they are.
Oh yeah, for sure. And when they're at tribal council, they all like every episode do like this weird double speak where like they're trying to speak in a way that satisfies one alliance, but maybe also satisfies the one other person that they made a promise to, so that they don't give themselves away. So it's really funny watching them try to do that.
Yeah, they're like dodging. It's wild. Okay, but we get to the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone votes, and then Rachel plays a shot in the dark. I'm so glad you finally got to see a shot in the dark being played.
Yes, I understand now.
Yes. So she plays it, and she's not safe.
Which, wild that she was willing to play her shot in the dark, but not her immunity idol.
Okay, here's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to think. You can still play the immunity idol without having a vote, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Because here's what I'm thinking. Is that because she was looking around. Whenever she played that shot in the dark, she started looking around at people's faces. And I think what she did was she was like, I don't want to play my immunity idol yet. I don't want to play it if I don't have to. I think she was feeling uneasy and she thought she may be getting votes, or that the tides were turning and she didn't know where it was going to go, which she was right, but she just wasn't the target. But I think she was reading their faces, and if everybody was going to look shocked or kind of uneasy at her playing her shot in the dark, then she was going to pull out her idol.
Oh, wow. That's like big brain. I love that.
Yeah. That's the only reason I could see for why she would take a 1 in 6 chance on being safe. And not just a guaranteed, if she thought she was really going home, you know? And it also gets a target off her back. Like, no one's going to think that she has an idol, because they're like, why would she play her shot in the dark if she had an idol?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That if she was thinking that way, then she's extremely smart and strategic.
Yes, I think she is, though. Okay, so then we see it's a tie between Sam and Sierra. And here, Jeff Probst has to literally explain the rules, because Sam didn't have a vote going into this. And normally, the people who are tied don't get to vote again, because all you can do is vote for each other. So it's pointless.
So they didn't show who voted for who in the initial vote at the beginning, but do you think that Sierra was the one person who voted for Gabe?
Yes, absolutely, because Rachel didn't have a vote and Sam didn't have a vote. So neither of them could vote. So it had to have been Sierra, because those three were the only ones that weren't in on this vote.
And the rest of the tribe was united against getting the Gatto alliance, the superior alliance between Sam and Sierra. They were determined to split that up. Okay, that makes sense now.
Yes. But Sierra does get to vote in the revote because Sam doesn't have a vote. So there is a purpose to it. But unfortunately for her, it didn't matter. She still goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me so sad.
Yeah. And everybody voted for her in the second vote, except for Sam. Mm-hmm. I mean, except for herself.
Yes, I know. And it sucks that, like, Rachel didn't have a vote. I mean, it wouldn't have made a difference, but her not having a vote, you know, didn't help. Well,
yeah,
helps. Actually, in a way, it kind of helps Rachel because she wasn't on the wrong side of the vote. She literally didn't vote.
True. Yeah. Rachel can't. No one can be mad at Rachel. That is, yeah. You know, I never thought about that. That is the plus side of not having a vote.
I mean, that's true for Sam, too. Like, Sam didn't put Gabe's name out there. You know, he wasn't voting for Gabe. He didn't vote.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, what was your goat move of the episode?
Yeah. My goat move was Sierra saying that Andy was her goat.
That's a good one. My goat move was similar. It was Sierra and Sam not branching out of their alliance. Like, I understand if they still want to work together. But, like, if they were really, really, really smart, they would have been like, hey, let's keep our alliance, but keep it on the down low and start individually working with other people and then individually get those other people to agree with both of us.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Because everyone saw them as a strong two. And I think what it really came down to is Andy wanted one of them out. You know, that's, I feel like, where it started from. Because I feel like if it's not for Andy, then Rachel would have been the vote. Because that's what Genevieve was pushing hard, you know, and other people were on board with that up until Andy being like, no, I'm voting Sam or Sierra. I feel like he kind of dictated the vote more, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Sierra saying that Andy was a goat was, that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes. Many things broke that camel's back. All right. What was your fire move?
My fire move was Andy breaking his alliance with Sam and Sierra at the perfect time.
Yeah. Yeah, he really did. He knew, like, him being able to read them and know, okay, I'm no longer with them. They're no longer with me, and I'm just their goat. And knowing that he has to break away. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I would pick up on that besides Soul telling you that they threw your name out. You know, that's the only thing.
Yeah, I agree. What was your fire move?
Yes, my fire move was Rachel playing her shot in the dark to try to read. I'm going to say she did it to try to read people to know if she needed to play her idol. I thought that was genius. I thought it was a great move. Yes, but now she still has her idol and the target's off her back. She's on the bottom, so she's kind of like a free number now again, and hopefully someone will pick her up and work with her.
And they're going to have literally no idea that she has an idol because in their heads, they're like, oh, if she had an idol and she was that worried about going home, she would have played her idol, not a shot in the dark.
Okay, yeah. I just thought of this. It also makes it where you don't have to blindside her. Like, if people are like, okay, she doesn't have an idol because why would she play her shot in the dark? She's already played her shot in the dark, so she can't play it again. So you can let her know that she's going home because she's got nothing to defend herself with. But she really does.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Rachel is a sneaky threat.
Yes. And Genevieve knows that she needs to get Genevieve out because Genevieve
has good intuition.
Yes. Because Genevieve knows she's a sneaky snake. And Okay. Who was your game changer?
That game changer was Andy for breaking away from the alliance already. You know, kind of set my reasons for that. Yeah.
Same.
What was your hot take?
I have many hot takes for this episode, but
I have a couple as well.
One of them was the auction, and Sierra should have shared her chocolate with Andy and, you know, really brought him in and made him feel more comfortable. I don't think they did a good job of, like, keeping Andy close to them. They saw him as expendable and it bit them in the back. But my other one was Kyle did not need to win this immunity. I think he's now got a huge target on his back. I don't think he would have gone home in this episode if he didn't win it. And I think it would have been a good time to not win, go out early and show, oh, I'm not as strong as what everyone thinks I am.
Wait, so you think he would have gone home this episode if he didn't have him? Oh, you think he wouldn't have gone home if he didn't have immunity? So he should have thrown it.
Yes.
Okay, to not be such a threat.
Yes.
Okay, that is a hot take. Because I feel like you should always get immunity anytime you can. But at the same time, if you're playing like the long game, the more you get immunity, the more that 1 week where you don't get immunity, you're gone.
Exactly. And I feel like he fits that perfectly.
He does. And he is good at so many different kinds of challenges. He's good at balance, strength, speed. I can't remember how good he is at puzzles, but maybe that'll be his downfall. We'll see.
Okay, what was your hot take?
My hot take was that they should have voted out Gabe when they had the chance.
Yes. He keeps getting by. Like, people keep saying, let's vote out Gabe. And then other people are like, nah, we're good. And I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is there. But I feel like he's doing a really good job of not being a very loud target. Like, he's not winning immunities like Kyle is. He's not being overly strategic. I don't know. They need to get him out, though. They got to get him out.
And my other thought is that depending on how the rest of the season goes, they should have possibly voted out Andy when they had the chance.
Ooh. Yeah, but nobody knows that Andy's a threat yet.
No, they would have never voted him out, but Gabe would have been the obvious choice that they could have voted out. He was obviously a threat. I don't know if they just think that he's not likable enough to actually win in the end, so they don't mind taking him to the end. Maybe he, like, is really annoying in the tribe or something like that, something that we don't see. But it makes no sense to me why they wouldn't just want to get Gabe out. And, like, they were thirsting for it last week, and they didn't do it. And then this week, they talked about it, and they didn't do it. And I just can't wrap my head around it, because last week, I mean, not to go back to last week, but the way that last week played out, they must have legitimately seen Tiana as a bigger threat than Gabe, which I have not really seen in the episodes.
Yes. Okay. This is going to tie into what I was going to say to another hot take. But Tuku seems now to be really strong. I think Tiana was the crack in that. And Tiana was trying to already vote a Tuku out. And I think that's why she ended up getting voted out last week. But now that she's gone, I feel like Tuku is so strong. And now we have even numbers. So it might have been a mistake to not get a Tuku out while you could.
Wait, that makes sense.
Yeah, they could easily now dominate this game almost.
And I bet the reason that they were able to vote out Sam or Sierra is I bet Tuku was like, we're not splitting up. Like, we're not going against each other, period.
Yes, and even if they didn't say it out loud, they're all thinking it in their heads. Like, we are sticking together, and we'll make them eat themselves. You know, let's get Andy to eat his own tribe, and it'll only make ours stronger.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Ugh. What a good episode, though. Again, the season is amazing.
I know. What I love about Survivor is that there's the format of it, and the format never changes, and there's all these twists and turns, but they ultimately let the players play. Like, they just let them play. Let's see how it turns out. Like, you don't know who's going to get that advantage in their fries. You don't know who's going to bet on that food item. Let's see how it's going to go. You know, like, all these different things could happen to anyone. And all these different advantages, so many different people could get, and it could go so many different ways. And I love that it's not, we never know which way it's going to go. And I think they do a great job of not meddling in to the process so much that it's predictable, you know?
And every little tweak that they do to the game has huge ripple effects. So it's just really fun to see how it all affects everything.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, I thought that was a short episode. I mean, really, most of it was the auction, so.
Yeah, so much of it was auction, and I was kind of confused by that because it seemed like there was so much going on right before Tribal Council, but that's okay. The auction was also entertaining, and I liked how, like, fast-paced it was at the end because I felt like my head was on a swivel.
Same, same. I feel like maybe they had to do, you know, I don't know. Maybe that was a creative decision again to like,
yeah,
make us feel the way that the players are feeling. But yeah. Okay. We made it through another week.
Yes.
I don't even know how many weeks we have left at this point. We're on episode 8 and we just now got our first jury member. I wonder if there's going to be like back-to-back tribals coming up or anything like that. But I'm ready. I'm ready for the twist. I'm ready for the turns.
Me too. And if you want to keep following along with this amazing season of Survivor, then make sure that you keep tuning into us, subscribe to us, follow us on Instagram, Binge and Banter on everything. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with another episode catching up between the sisters, Golden Bachelorette, and I think it's the mental all coming up. And then we'll also be talking about whatever's going on in the zeitgeist at that moment. So yeah, thank you all so much for listening. This has been Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And my name is Emily, and we will see you next time.